Welcome to the Rich Relationship Podcast with Gil
and Renee, where amazing things happen. Our goal is to help build, repair, and restore healthy relationships.
Our primary focus is on the marriage relationship. However, the topics are applicable to the relationships that we value most. Remember, we're stronger together.
Let's grow.
Well, you know, the name of the show is Rich Relationships with Gil and Renee. You can't get any richer than having some friends on your show that you have known for over 20
years. Yes.
So absolutely. We are excited and grateful to have Warren and Zetha Riley on our show. And so thank you for being here, Warren and
Zetha. Thank you guys for taking time out to hang out with
us. Hey,
thank
you guys really excited. For having us. Yep, it's a privilege.
So just to full disclosure for all our listeners, we, like Renee was saying, we have known Warren and Zetha for a long time, and we've raised kids together. We stationed together while we both in the Air Force, and we're both retired, and our spouses are retired from the Air Force as well, because we know they do their time just like we do. So one of the things that we have always done is kind of kept in touch with each other, but they are some of the most awesome, genuine, authentic people that we have ever come in our whole time. And so that's why we wanted to bring them on, just because it is so rare in this time now where we get to meet couples that have been together as long as you guys and we have together and still on the first marriage. That's so important because it matters. But that's what we wanted to bring on, some veterans of the marital world. And so we wanted to get some of their wisdom and some of their advice, interest that we can put out to the guys who are listening. So we always like to start the show out our love story, the title of the story. So we're going to give you guys an opportunity to start off and just tell our listeners about Warren and Zetha Riley's love story, how you guys met and how you guys hooked up, and anything you want to share at all. So I'll turn it over to you, whoever wants to kick it off.
So this may differ a little bit.
Okay.
Zetha has a better memory than Warren.
That might be age, yeah.
Yeah. But it's probably all true. But you're probably gonna have a little difference in this. So just wanna put that out there first. So I'm gonna kick it off.
Well, mine will be short. It took a while for her to come around, because I told her when I first met her at 10, she was gonna be my wife, and she laughed at me. So
at 10 years old. You know, at 10 years old, we've known each other a while, and so this may be some new stuff that I don't even know. So at 10, you were telling her she was going to be your wife. And yeah. Zetha, how did you respond to that as you remember it?
So I'm 6 months older. So as a girl, when a boy is younger than you, you don't like it. So one was a little boy to me, even at 10. So I would laugh at him. But so when we met, I did think cute. So now we're 10, 11 years old. So, right. You know, not that much going on anyway. Right. But I did think it was cute. So the one thing that I think I share with Warren probably is that when I used to play with my dolls, because back then girls play with dolls, yes. And I played in the house, Warren was always my husband.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she didn't want to talk to you, but she was still imagining, though.
That means that it was really ordained by God, but at that time, I didn't have any idea what was going on.
It was a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, for me, it was just because I was a Mac from way back.
Oh.
A player from the Himalaya.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but seriously, when we met and we instantly became friends, and it really was ordained by God, because my brother was dating her sister, and they eventually got married. And so that naturally brought us together. And it was great the way that God, because if we would have gotten together while we were kids, we wouldn't be together now, because you know how that is. It just wasn't ready. And right. So we ended up having a very good relationship, being friends. She knew all my girlfriends. She was there when I used to hang up on them, and they would call back, and she would say, "Why are you calling this guy back?" You said, But, you know, and then we just kind of went back and forth. And then I was supposed to go to prom with somebody else. And then we ended up one night just kind of, we were hanging out in the car, and I came over to see her. And then he smacked me in the face, and I was like, "Ouch." And then she said, "You want me to kiss her?" And then she kissed me, and we've been dating ever since. And I was senior in high school at the time. And that was kind of the cliff notes too.
Let me go a little further. That is very true. Yeah. Warren and I were friends first, which is most important for any relationship.
Right.
So we grew all of high school together, hanging out with one another. I got my driver's license before Warren. So I used to have his brother's car, my sister's car all the time, but Warren would be with me. Warren got his permit. So I actually, he won't say it today, but I taught Warren how to drive, took him to get his driver's license. You turn that curve too wide.
I believe you, Zena. I believe you, girl.
That is very true. Look.
She's this tall. Are you going to teach the so,
bottom drive
this tall?
So, yeah.
Her license was this big, though.
Right. So we were actually really good friends. And then what the most important thing that I think Warren missed out was that because we had Tishikos in our team, I was at school because I went to junior college in the beginning, and he drove up to get me. And one of my girlfriends on campus, all the girlfriends was checking Warren out because now he's a senior in high school. You know, he's his own. Uh-oh. You know, he was so all my friends and all the girls on campus was checking him out because he's a new guy on campus. So everybody wanted to know who this guy was driving a nice car because he was driving a nice car. Uh-huh. And so when I told my girlfriend Joan, I was like, oh, that's my, at that time I called him my brother-in-law. That's my brother-in-law. That's my sister. And she was like, so what's up with you guys? And it's like, nothing. He's my friend. And she was like, well, you better get on it if that's what you want. Whoa, or somebody else going to take him. So back in the day, I don't know if they still have it, there's a friend zone. So if your friends date someone, you can't date them if they're your real friends. Right. So when Joan told me that, and because she was one of my good friends and still my good friend today, I was like, ooh, let me get her. So when he came to the house, opportunity.
And she missed, she missed one small thing too.
What's that?
When I got out there, one of her friends, I think her name was
Stephanie, they traded phone numbers.
Yeah, we traded phone numbers, and we were going to go out on a date. And that's when Joan really started saying, girl, you better get them because at that time, the young ladies had a code.
Yes.
You know, I don't think that code exists today. But there was a code that, you'd be like sloppy seconds and nobody wanted that.
Right.
And they wanted that. And so I think that really motivated her to make a decision. And you know how it is. Sometimes you're around somebody all the time and you just don't realize things. And then when somebody else brings it to your attention, you're like, you know what? Yeah. And she
So how long did you guys actually date exclusively? And how long? So between the time you were 10 and Zena imagining you to actually dating and where you can say you're exclusive, how long was it?
So I can tell you, we started dating in February of 1984.
February 26th.
Of 1984.
Okay.
And then we got married June 6th of 1984.
Wow. So you guys mentioned something that was so interesting about, I want you guys to elaborate a little bit about how important it was friends before you became something more into, because that seems to be one of the prevailing things with, I won't say this generation, but the times that we're in, that nobody knows how to be friends first. Mm-hmm. You know, how would you guys answer that to somebody as far as how important it is to be friends, your person you're dating before you become even more?
Warren's looking at me, so I guess that's cue to go first. So what I would say to that is you honor friendship more. And I'm going to give it from a female perspective of it because I actually mentor a lot of young ladies in my office. And they are very quick to forgive their, but then they call it off really quick when a guy makes it. And I ask them, what's the difference in that? And they say, well, he made me mad. I was like, but don't your girlfriends or your male friends do things sometimes to make you mad, but you're really quick to forgive. Right. And they were like, you're right. So I really feel like when you develop a friendship, it's a strong bond between two individuals. And then people go into relationship and they want to treat relationships like something different. But a relationship is actually a friendship first. And then you fall in love with them romantically. So to stay strong, to stay steady, building a foundation of a friendship is most important because that's your foundation.
Morgan, you're nodding. You must agree with everything.
Well, I agree with her. But one thing that, I've learned, marriage was created by God, and God talked a lot about marriage in Genesis, and you know the passage like in Genesis 1 where he said, after he had created Adam, after he had created Eve out of Adam, then he brought her to Adam, and that was the first wedding. So Adam got married right after surgery. I don't know how he did. That's a good God right there. You create. You have a surgery, you create this wife, you bring her down the aisle, give her to Adam, they get married, And then the scripture says, and they were both naked and not ashamed in the garden. Now, the whole naked and not ashamed, it has nothing to do with they didn't have on any clothes. What it had to do was is that they were vulnerable to one another. They could see each other's flaws and they felt comfortable. And that's the thing that friendship does that marriage can't do. The friendship is that because you learn each other's marks and flaws and you feel comfortable. And so it makes marriage almost very organic because you know that this person has my best interest at heart, regardless of what's going down, they're ride or die because you have a track record.
Right.
And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with, you know, love at first sight and falling in love, but there are going to be challenges. And I would rather have the friendship. And another thing that friendship does that I think is extremely important, and because we counsel a lot of people and they have these issues, is that friendship allows you to know the other parent and family. Because when I married Zena, I married her entire family.
Right.
So that's a huge thing because you marry somebody that you love, but then, you know, all the people like, you know, maybe gangbangers or they don't like you or, you know they could have raped your person you marrying. And so you have all this stuff that you were unaware of, that if you were aware of, you probably would have made a difference.
Right.
And so I think the friendship has so many intangibles that I don't even think we have enough time to cover it on the show. I mean, I can.
Right. Oh, we can always do part two, because after you guys come on, you know, people are going to say, we bring back one and Zena.
You know, one thing that I want to point out that you guys made clear was that there was not only the friendship, but you guys didn't get married in a day. You guys dated for, 3 years before you guys got married? So not only was your friendship established, it had time to grow.
Right.
So you got to know each other. So I think that's something that's important. How important do you think it is for people to take the time to get to know each other as well as being friends versus, like you said, you mentioned, you know, want love at first sight. Do you really believe there is a such thing that you think that love at first sight can make a marriage last?
I think it can. It's going to be challenging, but it really can. And a lot of it has the people's maturity, if they're bought in, where they are spiritually, and if they're willing, marriage, you know, because people say, oh, you know what, I got this. There's really no playbook for it, but it is a playbook. It's the Bible.
The Bible.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so when people come to us, that's what they're going to get. I don't care what your religion is. I'm not trying to convert you, but this is the best book ever written on marriage. It was the first book ever written on marriage. So I'd rather read the most original book because everything else is just plagiarized.
Right.
It's just in a different language, but it's really plagiarized from the Bible. And I'm not trying to preach to anybody, but it really is the truth. And so it's very, it can work out because Zena's brother married his wife. They had known each other for 6 months.
No.
Oh, well, see.
They met on a train.
They're still married.
They met on a train in Springfield, probably like April, and they got married.
So you have success stories.
But they got to know each other. I mean, I think a part of it, what we're saying is that it's not how long, it's how well you know someone.
Oh, absolutely. Because
I believe that you have to get to know people.
Yeah. And so go back to the love of the side that we got it. I believe that attraction is what you have.
Yes.
Mm. And that's with our eyes. That's our vision. You know, that's what, so right. I'm attracted, which at 10 or 11 is what Warren and I saw. We were children, but we saw he's cute. He's cute.
Right.
But love develops. Comes when you get to know the individual because you're not just loving one thing, you're loving everything. Right. So to me, for success, you also love their family because you become a part of that family. So over time, all of that happens. So in the beginning, when you say, I love that person at first sight, it's more so I loved his look at first sight. And then the rest of the stuff came after as I got to know them.
Since you guys have such an awesome memory about your dating experience, like you said, and the time frame that y'all spent with each other, can you talk about some of the things that you guys did discuss when you're dating that somebody could glean from? Because I think a lot of times the generations that followed after us really don't know about the things to even talk about. You know, one of the things Renee and I share with each other, even when we were dating, was we talked about hopes and dreams and aspirations and those types of things.
And values.
What were some of the things that you guys discussed that somebody could say, well, I don't talk about that with my boyfriend or my girlfriend, but maybe I should.
Mm-hmm. All of those things that you just named, so your hopes, your dreams, your goals in life, how many children do you want? Do you even want, what do you want? A big house? Do you want, what type of job that you are looking to grow into? What is your career aspiration? And not only that, as far as dating, those are things that when you're planning a future together that you talk about. But just in dating in general, some of the younger generation, I'll say my kids' generation, the millennials, and the Gen S, what is it, the Zens now? They actually know what conversations to have with the people that they're dating. So right. Guess what? All of this stuff that's happening in the world today, can you have a conversation with your mate about those things?
Exactly.
General conversation. You know, they feel like they have to talk about a relationship conversation. But when you get to know someone and understand someone, whatever happens, I can look at you and go, hey, so Warren and I talk so much coming up through life and still now today, I, at times, and I think you guys probably do it too, I go, oh, girl, did you see? Because he's my friend. So I'm addressing him as my girlfriend. So a lot of people feel like because you're my partner, I can't say those things to my partner. But if your partner is truly, genuinely your friend, you can say everything to them.
You know, Warnazina, one of the things that I love about you guys, I love how you love each other, but Zena has always been my family role model, you know, just to see. I learned so much about being a lady and family from watching Zena, from watching you and Warren. Speak to how people, because one of the things I love about you guys is that you don't portray your family as being perfect. You know, you guys had things that have gone on that were wrong and you talk about it. Mm-hmm. Speak to how a couple who is trying to establish a relationship, what role should their family play in their decision-making process?
So the one thing that I will tell you that on day one and day two of our marriage in 1987, well, three people said things to three elders, my mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother. And they said different things, but the same thing. My mother said to me, if you want me to love your husband, keep your business in your house. Because while you're telling me these things about Warren, you're my baby and you are going to forgive him and go back to him, but I'm developing a dislike. My mother-in-law said to me, and not Warren, which is funny, she said, if anything ever goes wrong in your marriage, I'm going to know it's my son because he's the head and he's responsible for keeping the family together. Wow. She said, so just know that if anything goes on, I don't want to be any part of it. I won't ask you any questions, but you, Zena, will always have a place to be.
Wow.
And my grandmother actually said to me, baby, if you want your marriage to stay strong, get stuff with you.
That's right. And you know, it's funny because my godmother told me, she said, if you want people to be happy when you're happy, I can't be happy when you're happy and mad when you're mad. You have to make sure you keep those things that are going on, like you said. And I think that's the difference between keeping what's going on between you and him, between you and him, and still being transparent with other people. It's not, the difference is that if I'm mad at Gil, I'm going to tell Gil.
Yes.
I'm not going to tell my mom because she's going to be, like you said, she's going to be mad too.
Correct. But she'll still be mad when I forgive him.
Exactly.
Because I'm her child.
Yes.
So that was the best advice that we could honestly give. And, you know, here we are 32, almost 33 years later, and my mom actually lives with us now.
Yeah.
And she only had one request when she said, okay, I don't want to be alone anymore, was that you find a place, that we find a place that I can have my own space. Because the one thing I don't want to do is be sitting there looking at you on Warren's face when you guys are trying to make googly eyes on one another because you should do it. And that was straight up. That was her request. That was her request. She did not want her bedroom to be on the same floor as ours. She did not want any of that. She said, I feel like you should be able to have your family and me be a part of it when I'm not. So still, you know, you're giving the same advice differently 32 years later.
Yeah.
And it's a great job.
Ward, you look like you were ready to jump in there when the middle of Zena saying it. So you like,
didn't I tell you she was an extrovert, man?
I see.
I know this is like the beauty of back in the day.
I know. It's a role reversal.
You used to look when the Bulls used to
walk off the
Pistons. Oh, see, we're going to keep it clean. Let's stay on marriage. We ain't gonna talk about.
You see that? You see
he's Jordan? He's showing me a Jordan emblem of a montage of, you know, people from Chicago, because Warren and Zena are from Chicago, just worship everything Chicago. And there's this underlying animosity that people from Detroit and Chicago have. It's all about love, though. I have to admit though, Warren is probably the first Chicagoan I tolerated. You know, any other one that I got with or met it throughout our careers, like, look, dude, yeah. And we used to play basketball together constantly. But oh man, but that's a whole nother story.
That's another episode, but we definitely need to talk about that one, because
right.
But so
about the family.
It's paramount that family, that you understand what family should be in your marriage, and they should be outside of the marriage as supporters, and that's it. Because marriage is already difficult enough with two adults. And so when you start adding 3, 4, and 5, it becomes very, very complex. One of the things that I think family plays an important role is how the spouse, how the children interact with their family. Hmm. And so I say that for me, what won my father-in-law over was that I asked for Zena's hand in marriage to him. I wanted C and I.
Right.
And he very much appreciated. And I also asked Zena's mother too, because at the end of the day, the father was out of respect, but his mom was running the show.
We know that. Yep. That's how most households run.
Yeah. And so Zena's mom was like, Warren, Zena's very spoiled, and I'm letting you know that. And he said, if it ever comes a time to where you don't want my baby, just bring her back just like you took her.
Mm. That's right.
So that was West Side country talk for, don't put your hands on my baby if you don't want.
Right.
That's right.
And I knew that. But that helped, because, you know, it was, I didn't win them over, but they saw a different quality. And because her family knew my family and my family knew her family, that really set our marriage up for success.
Yeah, because, we had a support system.
Yeah, right. We had a support system, and each family felt comfortable with the other one. And so we did a lot of stuff together. So there was no time to where we got to come together and try to, you know, try to work things out and make sure everybody liked one another, worry about what people going to sit during the wedding. We were just all one big family. Yeah. And so I just thought that, I think that's important. But you know, we really warn and counsel couples not to include other family members in your marriage, because it's exactly like Zena said. You know, your family members are not, if they do something to you, they're not going to like you. And then you're going to end up going back to them, and you're going to wonder, you know, when y'all go to a family reunion, why is everybody looking at your spouse with like they got three eyes? Well, because you told them they smacked you around or something, you know,
right?
Or they stepped out on you. So it just feels very difficult to involve a lot of people in something that God, it's already three people. That's it.
It has to be. Yeah.
God, nobody else need not apply.
That's awesome. And we're talking to Warren and Zena Riley on the Rich Relationship Podcast with Gil and Renee. We could go on and on and on, because they've been some dear, dear friends of ours for many, many years. And we just wanted to bring them on the show to just share some of their wisdom and knowledge and things that we have just gleaned from them over the years. We just wanted to share with all the listeners of the show, because this is what it's really all about. When you meet couples that are really genuine and really have figured some things out, that's what you really need to adopt and to assimilate into your own life. And take it and apply it to your own, because that's where real true healing and growth comes from, your marriage. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I wanted to transition to a little bit, and you guys fill in the gap for me. You guys have one of the most unique family dynamics that I've ever had the pleasure of being around. Your family is blended together in so many different ways that Renee knows a whole lot more about it than I do, you know, just because I just get lost. You know, so without going too far, I don't explain how you guys' family is intertwined that may make you go, huh? Wait a minute, y'all are related or are y'all married?
Both.
Both. No, that's funny that Warren and I were dating. And you were like, that's your brother. How are you dating him? but my older sister and Warren's older brother, and they have, so my absolutely look like,
right.
So they're double nephews and double cousins with one another, but they look like they, because they, and my children always say, mom, same DNA, not much of a pot full from different.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So that's where we intertwined it.
Yes, exactly. Like his cousin. And they all look exactly like my dad. It's really quite, you know.
And that's one of the things that I think is so unique. And, you know, I've had the pleasure of being around your family a few times, the extended family, not just your immediate family. And it looked like a unicorn to me. I'm going to be totally honest, because I had never seen people interact with the way you guys do. Like you said, maybe it's the connectedness that you guys have of being so close because of the relational ties that you had before you became a couple. But one of the things that, what could a family do that doesn't have that blessing of having the dynamics of and a bigger family that can coexist with each other and still get along? Because you guys do vacations together. Y'all always have family photos and barbecues and things like that. That is a rarity in this day and time, honestly, you know. So how would you say is some of the secrets to how that has come about?
So it's amazing because, as you mentioned, we take family trips together. So we just recently took a trip with my sisters and our spouses and my mom to the Bahamas a couple weeks ago. And we were out walking one day. And then one of the things that we talked about that's super important is that we as siblings like one another. Mm-hmm. And that's key, that you like your siblings, because you're going to love them unconditionally. Right. But to like them and to be friends with them changes the whole dynamic. Our children actually tell us that we're weird because nobody is as close as we are. They were like, this family is not a normal family. So they oftentimes tell us that, and not just my children, but my nieces and nephews tell all of us that this is not a normal dynamic. This is not how families normally work. But I would give credit to the similarities in our upbringing for Warren and I. Even though we didn't know one another like that, but we had very similar upbringing. But my mom didn't allow my sister and I to agree or fight. The one thing would say to us is, you fight people on the street, not yourself.
That's right.
So that was one thing. So if we did fight, not saying that we didn't, because every family here have their issues, both parties got a whooping. Whoever was fighting got a whooping, because you fight people on the street and not. Wow. So in our household, we were set up that way. And remember, we talk about family dynamics. So it's super important on how you bring up your children, because I say to people all the time, you're raising someone's husband or wife when you're raising.
Yes.
Because the way you are as a person, that's what you're going to be in your relationship. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it, because that's who you are. So I was just blessed to come up and win a lot of the birthright lottery of Ann and Julia's cousin. And then God double blessed me because I married and met someone that had the same similar upbringing as I did. And so the family dynamics works because you're friends. And again, we go back to that friendship. So friendship is just not in marriage. Friendships across every
relationship. Yeah, and I think really gotten away from our culture, our Black people, is that we don't really spend time together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was growing up, you were always at a family reunion somewhere.
Right.
And it was an optional. And in my house, you know, my family, Christmas and Thanksgiving was going to be at my house. At my mom and dad's house. The 4th of July was at my Uncle Frank's house. Memorial Day was at Uncle Ariel's house. And so your family had to get together. And Zena and them were doing the same thing on their end. And the only thing that we didn't do that they did was that we kind of celebrated birthdays in my family. But for Zena and them, it was a mandatory holiday, so everybody had to come. And so when you kind of meld those two traditions together, and then the matriarch of the family actually make you carry it on, is that, okay, everybody's birthday, you gotta go over to the house. And so we meet regularly. Somebody's birthday, and then we have assigned holidays. So we have Christmas here at our house. And so everybody's gotta come. And so and the thing is that, you know, Ma always say, we're gonna always support the family. And so the last thing you wanna do is you don't wanna disappoint the matriarch. Right. And so everybody does whatever they need to do. And then you look forward to it, because that's how you really get to know family, is because you're spending this time together regularly.
Right.
And so if I were to
give people an idea of how big of a family you're talking about, when you have people for Christmas, how many people would you say come?
just 75. This year we counted, it was like 56 people. Last year it was 75 to 80 because we had a lot of Jewish friends. Yeah, and Jermaine wasn't his year, so because they went through last year.
And you're talking about immediate family. We're not talking about third and fourth cousins.
This is just
his nephews. Their children. My mom's their grandchildren, great grandchildren. Yeah, so everybody is...
That is awesome. One of the things that you mentioned that is, I want to go back to a little bit, is you guys mentioned about not only the matriarch being the catalyst, the family sticking together and having that oneness and closeness, but you also mentioned the character that you and Warren had alike growing up, and obviously how your families had some of the same attributes. What do you think can contribute to someone having those character, not necessarily deficiencies, but how can they navigate to somebody who doesn't have those same qualities and they're in a dating phase or early in their relationship? How would they kind of navigate that from a character perspective, or how important that is in the relationship?
Spiritual. If you don't have any type of spiritual foundation, you just really gonna probably want to shallow. Even though I thought I had it going on when I was younger, I thought I was the smartest thing. Spiritually, I was very immature. And even though I recognized, you know, the great qualities in Zena, that wasn't the only thing that drew her to me. It was more of the outside. Because you figure at that age, you can just work with the other stuff. But I think spiritual maturity is really huge. And then you have to have an open mind. Even though we both were just very blessed, we know God put us together. It's very interesting when you know that you don't have to be somebody else around your spouse. And so I can always be me, and Zena can always be her. And I know she got my best interest at heart. You know, if I mess up, we're going to be able to talk about it. I'm going to get smacked around a little bit, but we're still going to be together. So for me, I think that's where it is. I'm hoping I'm answering your question.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just think that's just how it is. People have to be open-minded. You know, you got to find somebody you know that's, you know, the kids now say ride or die. I say they have your best interest at heart. And then you kind of grow into the relationship. You know, you grow into the marriage. Even though we knew each other, you know, we both decided that when we got married, the paper was not going to change us. We were going to change, but we still had to be off to another. And we knew there was going to be some hiccups because I was 21 and she was just ready to turn 22. And so a lot of people are already saying, y'all having this big wedding, y'all probably be married 2 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and here we are today. 33 years is still going.
Yeah, so I would ask, along with the side from, is that
the difference
that Warren brought talks about some of our qualities and what we had similarities growing up with some as well. One of the things that I would highlight is like our birthday. Birthdays were big for us. Birthdays was you know, big for them, but not as big. So my family was brought up that's the one day that we can celebrate. And so therefore, that's why how birthday grew in our family. So to incorporate that into our relationship, you invite people. So I invited Warren all of the birthdays, not just my birthday. So he was part of every birthday celebration that we attended. And that's important, because when you invite people, they become accustomed to what's going on. And, you know, they grasp onto that ideal. So you bring people with you who are special in your life that you want to be a part of, things that are important to you. You have to share those with one another. So when you have differences like that, but this is part of me, of who I am, so let me invite you as part of me, and hopefully that'll be a...
And that was very helpful, because, you know, that's why I said you have to have an open mind, because there are these differences, you know, and you love the different things like that. But it was very helpful for me to have an understand why this is important to them, because, you know, you only know what you know. And so, you know... I knew what my family did, and to me, that was the gospel. That was the right way to do it. Right. But then when you meet somebody else that's doing it differently, you know, Zena gave me a great transition, because she recognized that, you know, I'd rather spend time with you. I don't want to spend time with these 25 other people, you know. Right. And but you see how important it is. And so having that transition just made me, you know, embrace her family, her family embraced me, and then open up my mind. And, you know, because I had limited experiences, but dating her really kind of opened up gave me opportunity to embrace new things.
You know, one of the things that I love that I hear you guys saying consistently is that basically the relationships that you're in should make you better.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
They should add to your life. And so what would be one thing you could say, Zena, that Warren added to your life? And then what would you say, Warren, one thing that Zena added to your life?
So for me, therapy's over the that Warren she has added one. To my life. I say many things. But I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna go old school on you of something that I'm realizing now that Warren became my provider. My provider in more ways than one, not just financial, but my provider, he helps strength, even though, you know, I know I'm much from the Lord.
Right.
But because he's a godly, he I can lean on him, I can depend on him. There have been times there's that I've gone through some medical things, and I the only person that I wanted to, after saying, oh Lord, help me, was my husband.
Yeah.
So over the years and my maturity, my one thing is that Warren has become my provider.
Wonderful.
And so I thought she would have picked and probably she
don't pick for me, pick for you.
What's security? Because
no,
is that what you picking for? You saying yours is security she gave
you? No. Right. Hers was security.
Pick for you. No.
For me, because I was limited in my experiences. I mean, I grew up in Englewood in Chicago. It's the south side part of the city, for those of you who are listening.
And so you grew up on the rough side of town?
Absolutely.
Oh, right.
You cleaned them up, Zena? You cleaned them up?
That's the west side girl's job.
So
that's
lady
right.
and friend.
That's right.
It is. But I mean, I really hit the lotto with my wife because she expanded my horizon. So I would not have, because I didn't come from a family that was big education. They was big on getting a skill that can provide for your family.
Right.
Zena was big on education. And so she really pushed me to go back and go to college because I didn't want to go to college.
You know, right.
I wanted to go to trade school and have my own construction. Mm-hmm. And so that's real easy for me. It's just like, you know, you got to go to. And so she really ignited that fire and to make me think that I could do almost, you know, I was already arrogant growing up because I was good looking, light skinned brother before I got sick now. But
you're not like that anymore. You're not arrogant at all anymore.
But you know what? I'm not arrogant anymore. But I'm telling you, boy, when I have this other back surgery, I'm getting my sexy back.
No,
then I am gonna be arrogant. But right
now, you know, only one person can tell you that, and that's Zena. She'll tell you if you got it back.
But it was just she really, I mean, she pushed me to, you know, to go to always the stars, you know, always, no matter what I did. She's like, I know you could do that. I'd be like, I really can't do that because I really didn't think that I could go to college. And now here I am today. I got 4 degrees. Mm-hmm. And it's really because, and I would have been fine with one. She kept saying, nope, go back, nope, go back. I got the kids, go ahead and go. And I was traveling, you know, we in the military. I'm never at home. And then when I am home, I got to spend the weekend, you know, doing homework and stuff.
And she
rarely ever sweated, you know, she always supported me. That really is, I mean, it's invaluable. If I wouldn't have met her, I know I wouldn't be living. She really.
She's my provider. I would send them up.
Yeah, there you go. I was just, you know what? You read my mind. I was getting ready to say that. Warren, she believed in you, but she was planning ahead. She was like, I gotta make sure this boy is marketable.
Absolutely.
But she makes more money than I do, though.
Well, it's okay. It's okay. You confident?
He's confident, so, and all the money is the same. So we're
That's it. And you know what? That kind of lead is a good segue into something that can be kind of difficult for couples to deal with, is not just a money thing, because we know a lot of times money becomes a problem in a lot of marriages, and conflict arises and comes up. And what I want you guys to do is share with our listeners some of the things that you've learned over your years of how do you handle conflict? You know, when things come up, what is your kind of default way of dealing with it, or how do you communicate through it? You kind of mentioned it briefly in one of your past responses, but if you can dive into that a little bit about how important it is to resolve conflict in a relationship, that especially as long as you guys have been together.
Well, I think the first that you got to realize after the honeymoon is over, there's going to be conflict. And so it's just the way that you look at conflict. Conflict is really an opportunity just to learn more about each other. And you learn that after you've been married for a while. But what we learned is that when there was conflict, it was kind of trial and error. First, it was like, it was all about, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right.
Mm.
And so then you don't, and then it's all about who can scream the loudest. And you're not tackling the problem. You're participating in conflict, but you're not participating in resolution.
Right.
And so in conflict, you got to understand that, okay, everybody gets to say their part. You got to feel safe about saying what you're going to say, understand what the conflict is, and then come up with a mutual way of resolving it. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest things for me is that a lot of our conflict came out of miscommunication. And
right.
and for me, communication is defined, and I just define it like this because it makes sense to me. Communication really boils down to intent and interpretation. And so when I realized that something that I had said to Zena, she interpreted one way, but that's not what I intended for her to hear or what I meant. And
right.
so once we stopped trying to point the blame and trying to figure out why are we having so much conflict, you know, and then she would say her part and I would say my part, and I was like, well, you know what? Hey, that's not what I meant. That was not my intent, but I understand that's the way you interpret it. So let me try to put it another way.
Right.
And so once we understood that and understood that, you know, all the time conflict is not going to be resolved immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And so we identified the conflict. We said we're going to try to work through it. And then we wanted to resolve it. Because if you just walked away like I would do sometime because I just didn't want to be bothered.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we may get out of the situation right and we all lovey-dovey, conflict is still right where you left it.
Right.
And yeah. so you can't go any further in your marriage until it's resolved. And so people think just because they take another road, they're going to end up right back at the unresolved conflict.
Right.
And so once you resolve it, you can move forward. And I think that's why a lot of marriages get stale, they get stuck. Is because mm-hmm. they just kind of try to wash over the conflict and they imagine they act like it's not really real, and it is there. And
right.
so when you come back, it's right there. And so that's how we dealt with it. Knew that one of the things that Zena really is that, you know, we're not going to bed mad at you. And mm-hmm. so even though it wasn't gonna be resolved, we weren't gonna go to bed mad at you, but that wouldn't mean that I wasn't gonna, you know, get my little situation right either. Cause I was like, if we're not going to bed mad at each other, you know, break off my brother a little bit or something.
So to add on to that, and my husband, so I this part, the part that he explained did not come when we were
exactly.
It comes with growth over there. Yeah. So, you know, you argue the way you argue, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know because you've been my friends for a long time. When I'm angry, I cry. Mm-hmm. So, and it's not that I cry because I'm weak. I'm when I start crying, you probably should leave.
You better back up.
I'm really mad.
take cover.
Right. So because I am that, and I was, and I don't get that angry more, that type of person, I write. So I would write worn letters. Still to this day, does not like, but it forces them to hear you
right.
because you have to read what I'm saying. So. Can't say that really say when you're in mm-hmm. because nobody is listening to the other because mm-hmm. you're talking at, well, even in our younger days of marriage and younger, he always knew that I was gonna write him,
right?
And so he didn't like it, expected, but I was, because that was the only way I could all my points or how I was feeling so that he could hear everything. You have to resolve it, like communications right. are in a myriad of forms. So mine was always in the written for him because I'm emotionally tied to whatever's going on. So my emotion is going to be involved. So I'm just going to write this. And it right. wasn't a writing that I'm cursing you out or I'm saying, it was really, this is how I feel. And this is how you made me.
Right.
And we would, at that moment, we were able to talk it out.
I want to add
one go ahead.
Thing that I think is really important and not trying to be philosophical and it's really real. You know, when you're growing up, in a household, you really, when you become an adult, you're everything that happened in your household. And so one of the advantages that I had, because Zena mentioned it, the parent lotto, and so did I, is that I saw conflict in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Then I also saw resolution.
Right.
And so I really paid attention, particularly, and I didn't even realize, but I paid attention particularly to how my father handled conflict. And how he handled because my mother was kind of an instigator.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was really kind of laid back like you were, Gil, just really laid back. He brought his money home. But when he and my mom would have an argument, he would just kind of let her go. And then after a while, he's just enough, Ruth, you know, and then that was it. And so it helped me be able to deal with conflict. Now, on the flip side, think about the guys who see conflict and they see their mama getting smacked by their daddy.
Right.
And so when they get over, they emulate that same behavior.
Yeah,
and
right.
so I think that was key because
If I would have hit Zena, she would be out. But it helped me understand that conflict is normal in a marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not unhealthy unless it's not it's unresolved.
Right.
I think that's some of the challenges that, some of these young kids are facing, these generations are facing today. Or people, because if they see how their parents handle conflict, that they're gonna emulate.
They're modeling it.
Yeah, they're gonna model and imitate it, and it becomes very difficult. People get slapped around, or they step out on their marriage, and so it's just. I mean, I just didn't have to deal with any of that. I didn't grow up in a perfect household, but you know, the modeling for me was that I had an ideal of how to handle it, but we grew into coming up to the resolution. Mm-hmm. And what I learned is the big thing I learned about conflict resolution: one person can't resolve conflict.
That's the truth.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. That is
so
true.
And I think that's the thing, is that you got to realize that we both got to, you know, agree on something, and it's give and take.
Well, you know, one of the things I want to go back to, because, you know, we talk about the importance of relationships and friendships and families. One of the things I want to speak to a lot of the young women or married women is that, Zena, you have always been someone that if I was struggling in my relationship with Gil, no, you shouldn't go to your mom. But ladies, you need to have someone that you can talk to about what's going on. And it should be someone, one, that loves God, loves you, loves your husband, and that believes in marriage. Women, we have to stop talking to women who are in broken relationships about our marriage. We have to find other women who are working towards their marriage and that are going to be honest with you. And so, Zena, you've always been someone that I've always had to talk to. What would you say to women who say, I don't talk to anybody, I don't need anybody, it's just me and God? What would you say to that?
Actually, what I would say to that is everybody, God put your life for me. People that come in your life actually play roles in your life. And so therefore, there is a person in your life, you may not recognize it, that you can trust. So find someone you can trust. Someone that's in a relationship, married, not a girlfriend that's single. Someone that mirrors what you have and that can give you solid, sound advice. And you know that it's going to stay right there. Right. So that there, again, there's trust. But there is someone. So, you know, yes, you have the Lord. We have the Lord.
Right.
But God created all of us for a purpose. So guess what? There's someone in your friend group that you can go and talk.
Yes. Don't suffer in silence.
And no, so I wanted to ask one last question. And it's always like one of my favorites. So you guys have been married for a little while, you know, and what advice would you give your younger self, knowing what you know now, when you were all the way back at the altar getting ready to, based on what you know now, what advice would you give younger Warren and younger Zena about what
advice that I would give to younger is what I learned today recently is to hold your tongue, because it takes two people to fight. Hold your tongue and allow God to fight you.
What about you, Warren?
Man, I don't know, because I think I was kind of an old soul because I hung out a lot with my dad. Because our marriage has actually exceeded my expectations. So, I mean, that's a very good question. I guess what I would really say is that to tell myself that marriage is a lifelong effort. And so, you know, you just can't stop working it, and to make sure that, you know, I worked hard at my job. I worked hard when I was in the Air Force. I worked hard when I was in school. And I worked hard when I wanted to play basketball and baseball. But people put all these effort in other, you know, parts of their lives. But they put the littlest, it appears that people put the smallest amount of effort in the thing that's most important.
Yes.
You know, and that's your marriage. And so I think people work harder on their external friendships than they do their internal marriages.
Exactly.
So it's just, you know, like my dad used to say, hard work ain't easy. That's why they call it hard. So it's hard work, but it's you get a big return on the investment if you put the work in.
So what he would tell him his young self at the altar is that every day to have a successful relationship is going to take work. So no matter whether you're married 10, 20, 30, 40, my young self at the altar, I got to work every day.
Yeah, and
see, I
helped
them.
But that's why I have a bad back, because she got her hand in my back all the time talking to me.
That's okay.
That's why I'm on my third back surgery.
Well, Warden Zena, this has been such an awesome time and an awesome conversation. We love you guys. We thank you for partaking and sharing your time. And when they want
to, what I want to say is what Zena and I talked about women needing someone, young men and older men, you need somebody too. Because see, women know we need people. Men, you need someone in your life that can speak life into your life. Because there's things your wife can't say to you that another married man can say. So that's not just for women, that's for men as well. So
and
now you could.
No, and you said that very eloquently, because Warren has always been there for me at some of the roughest times. And I really, really appreciate that about him. You got to have someone in your life that you can share with. Yes. And I appreciate him. I'm so thankful. Like you say, we hit the friendship lottery.
Yes.
I done heard that multiple times. And we thank you guys.
So can I have one?
Go ahead. Yeah, absolutely.
You guys have just touted, you know, how great we are in marriage and stuff like that. You know, hey, all of the listeners out there that's listening to Rich Relationship, Gil and Renee are the realest people you ever want to meet. Renee and I are so much alike. And
he's my brother. He's my twin.
Right. And you see, that's why me and Zena did most of the talking tonight, but that's okay.
Right. But they're probably the most authentic couple you ever gonna meet. They're gonna love you to life, and they love one another. And you all really helped our marriage out, because it was, you know, there's no playbook for Black people being married, especially nowadays.
And kids, it is different for us. It's like different for us.
Yeah. But you all really are. They're authentic. You know, you're serious about God. You're serious about each other. You love family. You're high quality people. And you guys really are going to have an amazing legacy once it's all said and done. But we really appreciate everything that you all have done, the support that you've always done, all of the haircuts and the hairstyle and things. and just spending time. And even if I don't talk to Gil for 10 years, I can pick up the phone and we pick up right where we left off.
Yes.
Okay, I saw you.
Yeah.
And so even though Gil was younger than he really was like a brother that I absolutely, in our relationship, because I was a hothead and you were so calm, and you really helped me kind of ratchet it down a little bit and not punch people all the time. and I think the big thing is that you guys loved us for who we are. Even when spiritually you guys were ahead of us, you were doing this, you never really tried to change us. You continued to pray, and God puts us back together, and now we all love them.
No, yeah. Absolutely.
And so I'm telling you guys now, just listening to Gil and Renee, they're not putting on any airs. You know, y'all can hit me up and ask me, but what you see is what you get. And so if you're looking for authentic people that love the Lord, that's going to keep it real, and gonna always have your back, these are the people. Tell us right now, Gil and Renee Beaver, they're the people. They can keep thumping me. They can edit this. It's okay.
No. You keep going. We'll cut out some of the beginning.
But it's important, because authenticity is very linked. People act one way on the camera, and then offline, they're totally different. But and so you guys have always loved each other. Sometimes I would want to throw up. I'd be like, man, if Renee look at Gil with googly eyes one more time.
But that's okay.
This woman loves her husband. I can tell you that right now.
I
appreciate
him.
That. We really appreciate
it. I just love you so much, kid. I'll be like,
wow. That's okay. Mind your business. Stay in Chicago now. Don't come over here. Well, we really appreciate you guys. We really appreciate you guys spending time with us and sharing some of your wisdom and knowledge. And it's valuable. That's one of the reasons why we do the podcast, because this is going to be out there on the internet forever. You know, so even as your children grow up and they listen, they can hear some of the things about mom and dad that they may not be aware of, how you got to be where you are as a couple. And that's what this is really, really all about, is leaving a legacy who are trying to do and trying to get better at what they're doing. Though we really appreciate y'all spending time with us, hanging out
with
us.
Y'all. We have to come and see. I really plan on surprising you and coming and
seeing. Yeah, we were going to do this in person,
but the coronavirus kind of put that on break. So we are going to come and see you guys, because we miss you and love you.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for your investment in time. Remember to subscribe to the show and hit the notification icon to be notified when new episodes are posted on the podcast platform that you're listening from.
Or you can always find us on our website at richrelationshipsus.com or our YouTube channel, Rich Relationships with Gil Renee. If you found this podcast helpful or you think it could help someone that you know and care about, please pass it along and share it with them.
And also, you can always send your questions and comments to richrelationships.us@gmail.com. This is a weekly podcast, and the new episodes are going to be posted on Monday by 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Remember, we're stronger together.
Let's grow.